I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Time to take KSL outdoors. This is Utah's most listened to program about hunting, fishing, camping, and high adventure. All the gear you need to buy, where the fish are biting, and secret places in Utah and around the world where you can have a blast. KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
And we welcome you back to hour number two. It's the final one for another week of KSL Outdoors Radio, but still a lot to get done here. After we jump in with our first conversation, I want to remind everybody we'll be connecting with Bob and Mark. The Road Trippin' Boys are back with us this week, and quite honestly, I don't know what part of our beautiful state they're going to share with us, but it's usually down in their neck of the woods,
Dr.
the
Chris
central and southern part of the state, so we'll look forward to that conversation, as always, from their podcast, their blog site, which is roadtrippinwithbobandmark.com. Mark Wilson will also join us from one of the most beautiful spots anywhere, Red Canyon Lodge at Flaming Gorge, and I look forward to getting an update from him on what things look like there and what's coming for the spring and summer months with some ideas for you and your family to get out. And then fingers still crossed, Russ, that we can make contact with somebody I think you sent a satellite phone with and ended up helping out with a rescue on King's Peak. I'm excited to hear the details of exactly what happened there. That should finish us out on the program as we get you to the 8 o'clock hour with Ton and Maria and the Greenhouse coming up here on KSL with our friends from Olson's Greenhouse today, which is fantastic and a sure sign of spring. This first segment, though, we're jumping into a conversation about quokka mussel, something we have tried to keep up to speed with and keep you informed of, especially if you're a boat owner. And Bruce Johnson joins me now. He's the aquatic invasive species lieutenant, law enforcement lieutenant, who joins us on the news line. Bruce, thanks for your time today.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Hey, before we talk about some exciting news and a new development that hopefully is going to make it easier for people to get their boats taken care of after they come out of Lake Powell or some other waters that may be infested with quokka mussels, how are we doing in the state? Do we know, really?
We're doing good. We're keeping the quokka mussels contained at Lake Powell, even though we've seen substantial increases in boater traffic and decontaminations from Lake Powell. This last calendar year in 2020, we inspected just under 450,000 watercraft and decontaminated around 11,000 watercraft in the calendar year.
Wow. And with those numbers, it's obvious that, you know, the officials in Utah are doing a fantastic job with keeping these things moving in the right direction. But, boy, you really have to give a pat on the back and an attaboy to boat owners out there, don't you?
Yes, without their cooperation and consideration, we would be fighting a much worse battle. With their help and their thoughtfulness, we're able to keep that down at Lake Powell.
So I want to make sure I understand, then. It's still just Lake Powell that we know of that has any infestation at all?
Correct. Lake Powell, other nearby waters, Lake Mead, Lake Havasu, down in Arizona and Nevada.
Yeah, but I mean within the state of Utah, it's still just Lake Powell.
Yes.
How often do you do testing of other waters, and what does that look like on an annual basis? Because we're coming up on that season, of course.
They do sampling through the boating season, March, typically through October, and they'll sample multiple waters across the state multiple times through the season, and we have been keeping it at bay, and we're very grateful that we're staying at Lake Powell only.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about this revolutionary idea. And I, you know, indicated in my lead up to our conversation that it may be available elsewhere, but it is just at Lake Powell, and that's where we really need it. This idea of a dip tank method. Explain what's going on here.
Well, it's interesting you use that term revolutionary. This is the only time I've used that word, I believe, in my 20-year career with the division. And it really is a revolutionary concept and now a product that we're able to utilize. It's a dip tank that simple terms, is a bathtub for boats. Our more complex boats that have ballast tanks, internal systems, are able to back down into this tank and turn on their systems and circulate at the boat's systems at their speed. And it is a far more effective and complete decontamination of all the internal systems rather than our past, where we were putting attachments on the boat and able to only do a limited amount. This is a far more efficient and effective manner. It flushes the hot water through those systems completely and then returns it back into the tank in less than 10 minutes, when historically we were 45 minutes to an hour on these same types of boats.
How great is that? I want to back up a little bit, because the information that Faith Jolly sent over from the division tells the story of how this all happened. And I guess the creator of this new patent-pending dip tank, and he's the founder of a limited liability company he's calling Clean Wake. His name is Garrett Atwood, says he was stuck in one of those lines. He was saying at the time, man, there's got to be a better way to do this.
Yeah, it's a very interesting story. For the last several years, we've seen more boats and more complex boats visiting Lake Powell, and we were doing our best to try and keep up, which also increased the pressure across our state. And luckily, Garrett was in line and was going through that process and began thinking about a better way, like you said, and we're grateful. It's been a wonderful cooperative effort with Garrett and Clean Wake, and then with National Park Service and Bureau of Reclamation and the division to put this product on the ground from just those kind of dreams and sketches 4 or 5 years ago. Do we now have a working product that we'll put in place this year, and we'll create such a more satisfying experience for those boaters at Lake Powell.
So Garrett is a Utah guy.
Yes, he is.
All right.
Yep, he has work experience from the past with the mining industry and applied all that, and they were able to manufacture this dip tank for us.
So the tank's going to be transported from Ogden down to Lake Powell. It's going to be installed at the State Line launch ramp at Wahweap Marina and operational beginning on May 1st. It's the only one, though, right?
Correct. This is the only unit like this in the entire country. We have the first one. It's a neat experience.
Yeah. And I would imagine if it works out well there, there will be more, because obviously there are lots of launch sites around Lake Powell.
Yes. Yeah, we're hoping that this will prove successful and we can gain support to install more of these dip tanks around Lake Powell, which will then help the rest of our state waters and reduce the pressure on them as well as our surrounding states.
I've seen some guys really get jacked up on the launch site trying to back their boats in between other boats into the water. I'm wondering, when you've got a 14-foot wide, 5-foot deep tank of 110-degree water, it'll test somebody's skills, I would think.
Yeah, you're right. That is a fun experience to watch those backers on the ramp, but this will have some guide poles that'll help guide them in. We will have our staff there as well to help make sure that they're backing on a straight trajectory down into the tank. We will have bumpers in the tank as well to help protect the boat and the tank itself. And it'll be much better than our past experience, where we've had our staff crawling in and out of a boat, underneath the boats, this will be a far more efficient, effective, and safer process.
Yeah, well, it's amazing. And it's going to be in use beginning this summer, May 1st, at Lake Powell. I'd be interested in doing a follow-up after we're a month or so into it and see how things are going. People need to know, though, that anybody who does not stop to have their boat inspected, it's a Class B misdemeanor and something that obviously a lot of people are taking serious, but hopefully everybody will this coming year. And if they're going to clean or decontaminate their boats, we still have to tell them about some of the steps they can take on their own.
Yes, that's a real important feature. The clean, drain, and dry program, when you pull your boat out of the water, make sure you're wiping it down, draining the sea strainers, clearing out and all the systems. Pull all of your drain plugs to release all of that raw water and internal water systems in the boat before you get to our inspection stations. That's the first start of letting it get through that dry process if you're not able to get it decontaminated, or if you're going to another water later in the year, that may be an easier process for you. This last year, we have a new regulation in the state where the drain plugs for all watercraft are required to be pulled while in transit across the state. So that's a new one that the public will have to remember as well, which helps us with our program as well.
Yeah, and I'm sorry if you've already answered this, but in the few seconds we have left here, does using the dip tank then do away with the 30-day dry time requirement or no?
Yes, it does.
The
professional decontamination by our staff at these locations allow you to then launch at your convenience at other waters.
And I would think that would be the big incentive for most boat owners who, in a short season, don't want to wait a full month before they can use it again.
Yes, that's been a big factor with a lot of our boaters in the state. This process will allow us to do 4, maybe 5 times the number of boats that we've been able to take care of in the past, which hopefully makes our boaters happier and gets more of them out at the rest of our waters in the state.
Wow, I love that. All right, so again, it's going to be at only one location down at Lake Powell, and that is, State Line Ramp there at the Walweed Marina beginning on May 1st. I hope you'll come back and tell us how it's going down there, Bruce. I'd really appreciate a follow-up.
Love to.
That is Bruce Johnson. We appreciate your time, as always, and the work you do, even when we're not here to talk about it on a regular basis. He's an aquatic invasive species law enforcement lieutenant with the Division of Wildlife Resources. Give us a minute. We'll take a break when we come back. It's Road Trippin' with the boys, Bob and Mark, next.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
All right, welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio. I knew you would enjoy that segment, and I enjoyed my conversation with Bruce Johnson from the Division of Wildlife Resources. Fingers crossed that that new dip tank is technology that is effective and works. And if it does, it's going to save a lot of boaters a lot of time, and especially when it comes to the downtime of the dry time of 30 days in between putting your boat or taking your boat out of Lake Powell and putting it in other waters. It is time to join up with the boys from Road Trippin' with Bob and Mark, and I've been told that I need to get a whole new theme song for Baba Louie here. This will bring back memories for some. Hang on. Quick draw's coming. Hang on, it's almost over. There he is with his faithful friend, his sidekick, Baba Louie. And I guess you've been getting a lot of this lately, huh?
Yeah, Mark's been he took that and ran with it. Yeah, he's been sending he's been sending me text with pictures of Baba Louie and Quick Draw.
So it's Quick Draw, Quick Draw, Mark Graw, and Baba Louie.
There you go.
And I have to say that Quick Draw was not the smartest, the brightest candle in the bunch.
No,
it was Baba Louie that was the bright one.
But I don't want to eat up all of our time, but in searching for that theme song, I had totally forgotten about his alter ego, El Cabong.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have to, maybe I'll be El Cabong to your McGraw Baba Louie.
There we go.
Anyway, and Bob, don't blame us because we wouldn't have known about it had you not brought it up. So.
You know, I sometimes talk too much.
Yeah. Well, talk to me a little bit more here about Capitol Reef National Park. That's where we're headed, right, guys?
Yeah. You know, we've talked a little bit about Capitol Reef in the past, but, you know, bits and pieces of it. It's a big park and there's a lot of bits and pieces of it.
Yeah.
So we thought we'd talk about the Capitol Gorge section of Capitol Reef today.
Start there, Mark. Where would you head first?
Well, you know, if you come in on Highway 24 from Torrey, or you can come in from the east from Hanksville, Highway 24 is that east-west corridor that goes through the park. And you get right into the middle of the park at the visitor center, and you're going to head south on Scenic Drive. And Scenic Drive is where we're going to go today, down towards Capitol Gorge.
Tell me about this Pioneer Register. I remember hearing something about this with all of these names that are etched into the cliffs. Bob?
Yeah, at the end of the Capitol Gorge Road, there's a parking lot there. It's a trailhead to several different trails, one of them being Pioneer Register. It's going through the wash itself. It's a slot canyon. You're walking through there, and this is where some of the early settlers and ranchers carved their names into the rock, like petroglyphs. They etched their names into the rock on the side of these cliffs. Some of them shot their name in with a gun. These guys are really good aim because they were able to shoot their name in with a. We don't recommend that anybody do that anymore. But these are considered historic. If you carve your name in nowadays, that's not considered historic. That's just a big fine.
Well, and they date back all the way to the 1800s, don't they?
They do, because that Fruita area was originally founded back in the 1800s.
Yeah. This was the corridor that they would drive their vehicles through in the early 1900s. This is the corridor that their horses and wagons passed through because Highway 24 didn't exist. So they would come down the scenic drive, if you will, and cut out through this gap to get out to the east side of the park.
Hmm. And there were no park rangers to scold you for etching your name on the rocks way back then. Any idea why they did this? Was it to let other people know that they had gone this direction, or was it just sort of to mark their territory, or do we know?
Well, we see this all over. Almost everywhere you go where in some of these scenic and historic areas, you're going to see names carved in the rock from the old cowboys and wranglers, ranchers and settlers. They're not telling a story like the petroglyphs did, but they're just putting their names in there. I don't know. Why do people put their names in rocks today? I think it's because it's, you know, they just want to carve their name somewhere. But this was a listing of a lot of the folks who actually lived in the area. And this gap that Mark mentioned, it would run all the way through into Notam, Utah, at that point, and that was their access to get through there. I would recommend driving through there now.
Yeah, right. One of the highlights, Mark, is really just to see what Mother Nature herself has done through the years with snow melt and all the rest.
You know, there are a series of canyons, if you will, all the way down, and they cut through east to west through and it's the water that's flowing through there from the snow melt, as you say, from the rainwater. And there are a lot of slot canyons that you can get to on the east side of the park, one right after the other, going down the Notam Road that Bob was talking about. But this is an area 70 miles in length, the whole park. And it is just undulations and carvings, and it's just an amazing area for rock formations.
And so many things to see along the way, Bob, on this scenic drive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The scenic drive from Fruta, the historic district on scenic drive to Capitol Gorge, you know, it really shows off what Capitol Reef is. And it's a lot of that various formations of Wingate, Moinkopi, and Morrison. A lot of this is really seen very evidently in this section. I have a funny story I want to tell you very quickly.
Okay.
So anyway, I'm guiding a group of the older single people. This was an organization out of Florida. These are people in 50s, 60s, 70s, and I had an 80-year-old. These were all single people that traveled together. And I took them through the Pioneer Register, taking them out to the tanks. And this is during the monsoon season. These people are dragging their feet, and I'm getting them through there, and there's thunderclouds ahead of me. And I'm going in there, and I go, this is kind of exciting. I love hearing the thunder above and the lightning striking the rim. This is fun for me. And these people are going, should we be going in here?
Looking at you like, do you know what you're doing at all? All right.
And then eating and flooding through there.
Yeah.
So I had to hurry and rush them out. It was like herding cats.
Well, it's always better to go to your blog site and be able to look at the pictures of some of the things we talk about. But one of the reasons I love having you both on is you do a great job of painting the picture for the mind's eye. And a great idea to explore Capitol Reef National Park's historic district and the scenic drive to Capitol Gorge. Again, just go to roadtrippinwithbobandmark.com. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, stick around, guys. We're going to talk with Mark Wilson at Red Canyon Lodge in Flaming Gorge, another beautiful spot not far from home here on KSL Outdoors Radio.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.